You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
It's the equivalent of March Madness for baseball today. We've had baseball all day long, and it's going to continue throughout the night. And we have two very interesting games that'll pop up this evening. We have the 5 o'clock game between the Yankees and the Indians, and the Yankees' offense looked dynamic last night. They can advance with a win tonight over the Indians. And then we get game one between the Dodgers and the Brewers. Plus, there's a lot of nuances, I think questions surrounding this playoff and the way things are going down. We'll talk about it right now with our next guest, former big league pitcher and now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants, Bill Lasky. Bill, as always, it is a pleasure. I appreciate you taking out the time again today.
Yeah, I got to ask you, how many television sets do you have in front of you? Do you have 8 of them? Because there's 8 games today.
Here's the thing. I wish I didn't host a talk show on days like this because I would be a fan. I would stay home all day. I would do nothing but eat potato chips, drink Pepsi, and watch baseball all day long. That's all I would do.
And I tell you what, baseball fans are doing that. And I tell you what a day for baseball. Some really good matchups. And, you know, yesterday was exciting, too. Some real good ones, especially out here. The Oakland, the White Sox game, I was really surprised Lizardo threw, but they know more than I do, even though the White Sox are 12-0 against the lefties.
Yeah, you know, this is something that I'm going to start off by asking what may be a dumb question, because in a best 2 out of 3, to me, the most important game is the game you're playing, but it seems like some managers are taking it as the most important game is game 2, not game 1. I mean, am I far off by thinking that?
You know, I think the same way. I would always thought you're putting all your eggs in the basket game 1, and then your second and third game, whatever you chip away, if you throw your best lineup, your best starter out there game 1, you should be able to at least win that game or get close. And what I'm seeing is they're starting pitchers 2 and 3 in game 1, and then they're coming back. And the best of 3, there's just too many ways you can make a mistake and lose a series like that. And I hate to say it, but I think the A's did that yesterday.
Yeah, and it is alarming to me, because when I look at the Oakland A's, it was a team that I expected to get to the World Series, really. I thought I was picking the Dodgers and the A's, and I thought maybe the Rays, just because Tampa's got such a great bullpen. But game ones are so unique in a best 2 out of 3 set. I really don't know what the correct answer is. I guess time will tell. But when you look at it tonight, the Indians and the Yankees, and I guess we can start with this game because, well, when the Yankees are scoring 12 runs, it really doesn't matter what the opposition's doing, because, Bill, early and often this offense was clicking. And this is the Yankee team I think a lot of people in the American League were afraid of.
I agree with you right there, and I think the Yankees got hot yesterday. You know, scored 12 runs in the first game, and they really let up Bieber, and I was just really surprised at all the numbers that he had coming into that game, and in one game destroyed his entire season because he was that dominant all year, and the Yankees put numbers on him, crooked numbers on him, hit the ball hard off of him. And if this Yankee team is going to be like this, and you look at Coles, you know, 12 strikeouts, they're going to be a force.
Yeah, and I guess the next question would be, did they waste the outing from Gerrit Cole, because they put up 12 runs in this contest yesterday? To me, that's the only way the Yankees are going to be able to make a deep run in the playoffs. They have to consistently be around 6-7 runs. I think that's what they have to do in order to win when you look at what they have pitching-wise.
I agree with you, and if this offensive part of the Yankees come alive and they start getting production from their 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters, this is really going to be an offense that can really take them all the way to the World Series. And that's what I was kind of looking for the Oakland A's yesterday against the White Sox. They just, you know, they had a no-hitter, perfect game through 6 against them. They couldn't touch a thing, and I was not expecting that out of the Oakland A's. And, you know, they sputtered a little bit the last couple weeks of the regular season, and yesterday it just looked like they were dead, they were stale. And I was looking, just like you, I was looking for them just to go right through the White Sox and on to the second round. And right now, their back's against the wall. And they, if they don't come out with offense today, their season's over.
It's amazing how quick things can turn in the baseball season, especially when you have a best 2 out of 3. But, Bill, the marquee matchup tonight, it would be the Dodgers and the Brewers. And there's been a lot of talk about the Dodgers. You and I have talked a lot about this team throughout the year. And at times, it looked as if, okay, maybe this squad is beatable. But as I sit down and I start looking at playoff teams and I'm going through aspects of the game, I can't find really any reason to pick against this team at any stage. And I know when talking about Cincinnati and Atlanta, you and I had the conversation off the air. If Atlanta doesn't come out of the series with Cincinnati, there's not a legitimate left-handed pitcher that the Dodgers would have to face, and that would be their Achilles heel, left-handed pitching. To me, it's almost a perfect squad to put together. It's like fantasy baseball, and you've put together the perfect group. That's what I see when I look at this Dodger team now that we're beginning in the playoffs.
I agree. This Dodger team is solid on both sides. And of course, when you start looking at Bellinger, who's starting to come around toward the end of the year, there's still a couple guys like Muncie and Jack Peterson that are still hitting under 200. But their offense with Mookie Betts right off the bat, they just get on base and they score. And that's what they've been doing. Look at best winning percentage in the history of the Dodgers organization. They beat that since 1953. Of course, it's only a 60-game season, but they are just so strong in L.A. And Milwaukee backs in when the Giants, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia all lose the last game of the year. And Milwaukee backs in, and I just don't think Milwaukee is strong enough to even contend against this team.
Okay, you did bring up the Giants and the Phillies, and while all the focus is on the teams that are in the playoffs, those are two teams, Bill, that's a great segue, because there are two teams that I really want to talk about, one being Philadelphia. This is a team that signed Bryce Harper just two seasons ago to a lot of money. It has not paid off. In fact, I'm starting to wonder if maybe the problem in Washington wasn't Bryce Harper. He leaves Washington, they win a World Series, now he's not too happy with the construction of the roster, and once again, this is a squad that is underachieved. I know that they had some pieces that didn't necessarily work out. When you look at that pitching rotation, it's not good. There's no question it's not good. What is wrong in Philadelphia, and how do you fix the problems going into the offseason?
Well, I think one of the worst things they ever even tried to put together was a bullpen. Their bullpen was almost an 8-point earned run average just from their bullpen, and they got to the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning so many times with the lead, and it was just disappeared. And I think that's one of the biggest problems the Phillies have had. They couldn't find anybody to solidify any part of the bullpen in any role. And I think that's going to be the number one part. But I'm right there with you. Bryce Harper can't go in and be the general manager now. And he was complaining. He was, you know, saying one-liners about certain people. And you can't win like that. You can't have that much power in the clubhouse, even though they pretty much gave him all the money that Philadelphia could offer. And it just has not worked out again for 2 years there. You know, they changed the manager. They bring in Joe Girardi. Didn't work. You know, they had Gabe Kapler. They blamed Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler, he didn't manage a bullpen either. But I tell you what, the Philadelphia Phillies thinking they were going to win 50 games out of 60, didn't even get in the playoffs. So you're looking at a team that's got a lot of issues right now.
And I guess that if we're talking Bryce Harper, I know that this was supposed to be huge. Remember when Bryce Harper was a free agent, years beforehand, we were talking about the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. And Bill, when it came down to it, there were really only three teams, I guess, if you want to include a short-term deal that the Dodgers threw at him. But really, it was between the Phillies and the Nationals. And then you see the Dodgers, they didn't hesitate to give Mookie Betts a 12-year deal. The Angels, they didn't hesitate to give Mike Trout the biggest contract that we have ever seen in professional sports history here in this country. I guess the question is, without being rude about it, you have personalities like Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and teams were hesitant to give them hundreds of millions of dollars. You have standout all-around players like Mike Trout, Mookie Betts. I think you could even throw Nolan Arenado. Teams were not hesitant to give them big-money deals. Is it a safe assumption that in today's world, big personalities don't necessarily coincide with big-time contracts if you want to win? That's a simplistic way of looking at it, but it's kind of the way I feel now.
And you know what? When you start looking at all these contracts you just mentioned, and probably three out of the five or three out of the six never really came about this year. You know, injuries and substantial problems with the players on their team. And these are things that I think a lot of teams are pulling back on. I really believe you're not going to see that many large contracts. You're going to have a handful. I remember some of the conversations we had. It's going to be like 5 to 6% of the big league contracts are going to be large, Then you're going to have the multiple ones in the middle, and then the other ones are just going to be fly-by-nights. Try it out. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, DFA'd. Baseball has changed. I think the large contracts are starting to be pulled back now. I know the San Francisco Giants here are not offering big contracts. They're looking at Gausman. They're looking at Smiley, two names in their rotation that they can't afford to lose, and they're talking about two-year contracts. And yet they're talking these guys as mid-rotation guys, but yet they could be the ace or number two on the Giants' rotation. So it is going to be interesting to see how this is all going to translate moving forward, but I just don't see you're going to see these big contracts. I really don't.
We can talk about the Giants. What went wrong in San Francisco? And I phrase that question lightly because, Bill, at the beginning of the year, to suggest that the San Francisco Giants would have a chance of sneaking into the playoffs, it seemed far-fetched. It really did. I mean, you and I were talking about some rather questionable roster moves early on as far as what they were doing at catcher. And, I mean, there were just some interesting decisions from Gabe Kapler. Then they take it into the final weekend and had a chance to sneak into the playoffs. And while it's not a favorable matchup against the Dodgers, it wouldn't have been favorable. It wouldn't have been out of the realm of possible with the way they played against this team in the regular season. So what went wrong with the Giants late?
Well, you know, they got down playing the Padres the last four games, and it ended up only having to win two of those four to get in. They had the second game of the doubleheader with the lead, and they brought Coonrod in, and Coonrod struggled right off the bat, and yet he did not want to make a change. And he kept him in there. He couldn't get his fastball over, ended up throwing change-ups, and a three-run home run was solidifying that, and then they lost. And then Saturday came back, and they were flat as a pancake. They couldn't even get a hit. They were just struggling. You could see they were all down, because if they would have won the doubleheader, they would have got into playoffs. Then they come into the last game on Sunday, and the Padres threw their bullpen, and anytime you throw a bullpen with these guys, they were lights out. And then they ended up throwing Rosenthal in the ninth inning, and they lost by one run. And I'm going to go right back into this Gabe Kapler not managing the bullpen, and that's what ended up hurting them. He did not know what to do, didn't give guys different roles. He kept them as bullpen by committee, and it ended up hurting them. Guy would be hot on a Monday, maybe throw a shutout inning, he was right back in there Tuesday. It wasn't a favorable way to use the bullpen, and we look at how he did in Philadelphia, and he didn't make any changes here in San Francisco. Again, some of the good things from the Giants, you know, Mauricio Dubon played very well as a rookie. Joey Bart came up as a catcher. You know, he was overmatched in the hitting side, but I thought he caught really well when Buster Posey opted out. There was some surprises. Brandon Belt hit over 300. Crawford hit 260. Still had a real good defensive year. Evan Longoria just ran out of steam. He was playing every game the whole month of September because they got rid of Pablo and they didn't have somebody to back him up. So the veterans did their job, but they kind of, you know, last week or so, you know, they hit a wall because they were exhausted. And I look at the starting rotation, Johnny Cueto just fell apart. He had a real bad September. And it seemed like everything he did on the mound was translated into a crooked number. Moving forward, they have some young talent. Moving forward, they had a lot of money if they want to spend it. But we'll see what Farhan does moving forward. We'll see. And that's all I can say because I don't know the infrastructure. They don't know. They're trying all different names. And anybody that's DFA'd, they're over here trying out. And I don't know if that's the way to run an organization, to try to find that needle in a haystack. Sure, they did it with Mike Yastrzemski. He was a plus-plus. But there's not that many guys like that. You have to go through 20 to 25 to get an average guy. So we'll see what they do moving forward. But again, at 29 and 31 for the year, I was right there with you. Surprised me with that record.
Now, Bill, we can end with this. Baseball is not basketball. It's not football. It's not hockey. It's not any other sport. Crazy things can happen. When you look at the odds-on favorite to win the World Series, it has to be the Los Angeles Dodgers for everything that we just talked about. So if I ask Bill Lasky to pick his World Series champion, do you go out on a limb or do you play it safe and say, look, this is the best team in baseball. The Dodgers are your World Series champs?
Well, you know, I was really a San Diego Padre fan going into this. They lose Clevenger and they lose Lamet, and I don't know how they're going to get through with the rotation. Now, they both those guys didn't even get on the wild card roster. And that surprised me because both of those guys were supposed to be your number one and two guys, and they were supposed to just walk through it. So how could you not, you know, say the Dodgers are the strongest of all, in which they are offensively, and they got some young arms in the rotation. Gonsolin is a great one. May's another one. And you just don't know how it's going to factor in a three-game set, a five-game set. And is Tampa Bay strong enough to beat them in the World Series? Because that's a team that's definitely caught my eye watching them. When you put it on paper, you have to say the Dodgers because of all the factors in it. But again, we know the Dodgers have clutched, and they can't win the big game. So we'll see if that prevails. But it's a great time of the year. Playoffs are magic, and you just don't know what magical moment's going to happen and what team's going to get on.
I agree. It's going to be fun to talk about. I'm looking forward to the next round as well. When we get down to four teams, that's what I really like, four teams in each league, because the baseball is, it's phenomenal. It's through the roof, and you get to see the strategic changes that managers can make throughout the series. Bill, I know you'll join us again next week to talk about that. Before I let you go, you can let the listeners know where they can find more Bill Lasky.
Yeah, just on Twitter, at Lasky19. I'll be tweeting stuff out. I just finished up doing my KNBR shows, so that season's over, and looking forward to next year with that and doing spring training. I just want to get the world back safe so everybody can get 162-game season next year, get spring training going from first day to end it, and hopefully we will see that come true. But until then, you know, be safe with your listeners as well as you, and it's always great talking baseball.
Thank you again, Bill. I look forward to doing it again next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Another one of those days where an hour simply is just not enough. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Tomorrow we'll catch up with head coach Phil Howa of the Carbondino football team. We'll break down game one of the NBA Finals, which is taking place tonight at 7 o'clock. And we'll look ahead, more Major League Baseball playoff talk. Plus, week four of the NFL season will begin tomorrow as well. See what I mean? A lot to get to in just an hour. That's going to do it for us today. Be safe. I am out.